This is done by a team. You're going to notice that my slides are going to look exactly the same, pretty much, in terms of color, bright green, stay awake, as Jill Edwards said, who's going to be the last speaker, because we're both reporting on a sort of a little sub-study out of a project. And I'm talking specifically this afternoon on job descriptions. No disclosures, which button do I do? So I wanted to sort of situate our thinking in terms of thinking about our history in public health nursing in terms of the many years now, what, 30, 40 years, 40, oh, yikes, of having published standards for our practice through a variety of venues. And the most recent being the ANA scope and standards for public health nursing practice in 2007. And just as a little bit of a reminder, there are the 16 standards. Standard 5 implementation has the 4 as a subset there. And they're about practice and professional performance. You probably have all of these committed to memory. But the other thing to remember in the ANA scope and standards that this is population-focused practice, and that when you read these standards, they are about practicing at that population-focused level, not about individual clinical. So whether it's collaboration or outcomes or advocacy, it's about populations. As part of this project, we are involving 3 local health departments, 3 in Illinois and 3 in Washington State, with Betty Backemeyer being the co-PI in Washington and Kathy Baldwin being my co-PI in Illinois. And it's funded through, actually through HRSA, thank you, under the Nurse Recruitment and Retention Act. Now you're thinking, Nurse Recruitment and Retention Act for public health nursing, what a perfect fit. As far as I know, we might be one of the first grants to focus on that. And in my naivete, I thought, well, we'll just go out, and we'll start some quality improvement councils, and we'll empower nurses, and all will be groovy. Well, not so easy. We had to back way up. And I realized at some point that we really needed to start thinking about what in those local health departments are the job descriptions, what's on paper, what are the counties legally holding from an HR perspective, their nurses accountable. And we really don't often think about the importance from an HR perspective of the job descriptions for our public health nurses. But in reality, human resource departments use those job descriptions in a variety of ways, all of which are really important to who we end up with and how we think about our practice. Not to mention that in the ideal world, those job descriptions would also be linked with job performance, right? And the ways in which we're sort of practicing to our professional standards. So there's really a lot of value in them. And we asked the question, to what extent are the job descriptions aligned with the ANA scope and standards? And we chose the scope and standards rather than the Quad Council competencies, because if you think about the difference between competencies and standards, there is a substantial difference, and we really want job descriptions to talk about the scope of practice, knowing that particular tasks are going to vary by local context. And we actually did a lot of work here. So we, from our 6 health departments, we gathered 33 job descriptions. That was the complete universe of job descriptions from all 6 health departments. They were all part of this ongoing, really kind of an intervention project with the health departments. And they really reflected the variety of job descriptions from those health departments. But once we sort of went through everything and deleted duplicates and things that were outdated and superseded, or the job descriptions that were only for the nurse practitioners in the clinical setting, we ended up with a set of 18 job descriptions. And the one of the things that really surprised us when we were going through this and doing the coding was that there are a lot of statements that are about job specification, to use HR language, that has to do with the licensure. Do you have a driver's license? And can you lift X number of pounds? And those kinds of things that, from an HR perspective, are important, but have nothing whatsoever to do with how we implement interventions, et cetera. And we also did a crosswalk between the ANA scope and standards and the Quad Council competencies as a way to sort of enrich our understanding of the ANA scope and standards. So we did that, get our mindset focused a little bit better. And then counting the four subsets, we actually did essentially content analysis on the job descriptions, coding statements out of the job descriptions into those 20 different standards. I'll just call them standards, but they include those substandards. I did that with one of my research assistants on the project, Michelle Ashley, who's now gotten a job in New York City, which is why she's not presenting. And then we actually took our coding and had that looked at by the rest of the team to sort of get reliability on that we'd actually coded the statements in the correct standards category. We found a lot of variation by local health department. There were several of the health departments that only had one job description for all of the public health nurses. But there was another, at the other extreme, there was one health department that had 9 different job descriptions for public health nurses. What's the magic number? I don't know. And the format really looked quite differently across the 6 health departments. There was one version where it was generically applicable across all, so that was for the one, for the health department. Then you had some of the job descriptions had sort of, all of our public health nurses do these things, and if you're in this program, you do these additional things, right? And then the health department that had the 9 had very specific job descriptions. The core content was the same, but it was really, you could see that they'd really put a lot of effort into tailoring it to either the population being served or the program that the job description was for. So quite a range on how those were done. When we look at the percent of those 20 ANA standards that were addressed across the health departments, there was one health department that only had 8 of the standards in the job description. A little bit discouraging, and we will be working to help that health department improve on that. There were 2 that were, I kind of called them medium. They had 13 or 15 out of the 20, and then there were really 3, half, which I think is on the positive side, half of those health departments had 90% or more, 18 to 20 of those standards. And I want to say that I really view this as a nice cross-section of what's probably really out there. We need to, of course, think about larger sample sizes, but I'm not surprised by this. If we look at, these are the A through E are, they're all the different health departments in the columns. So you can see how that ranged by health department. And because I could anticipate somebody saying, well, the large health department had more, I thought, well, I would show the FTEs for each of the health departments and the number of positions in each of the health department, and then how many job descriptions. So you can see that from this slide that essentially the largest health, in terms of FTE and positions, Health Department A only provided 1 job description. The health department that you would consider perhaps the smallest in terms of FTEs, E, also had 1. So that there's not a direct correlation between size and number of job descriptions. What I want to sort of focus on is thinking about across the health departments, what did we really learn in terms of which of the standards were used most. and which of the standards were not well represented across the job descriptions. And then we also thought, well, you know, to be fair, some PHM positions really are more individual family focused in terms of what's required, and some are more population. So let's see in the job descriptions how that sort of falls out. And so we did a little bit more analysis, and I apologize if for the busyness. The red indicates low percent of health departments that had those job descriptions, right? And green are doing really well. So the first thing to notice is all of the job descriptions had something about implementation of programs, but only 22% on outcomes identification. Begin to think about what does that mean in terms of our practice. Research and resource utilization, also really pretty low. Regulatory activities, low. Collaboration high and assessment high. Not inconsistent with how we think of ourselves as public health nurses. For those who like graphs, I just sort of turned the table on the side, and you can see the really low in comparison for the outcomes identification. The next bars is the lower for some of this implementation, and then the research utilization ones. If I look at slice the pie slightly differently, so to speak, and focus on the health departments, how many of the health departments had statements at the population level about assessment and at the individual level about assessment? So that's how you would read this table. Again, the red and the green are pretty much the same as in the previous slide, with only one health department, only one out of the six, including anything in the job description about the public health nurses identifying outcomes at the individual or the population level. Focused on quality practice, I would have expected that to show up in more of the job descriptions as well as resource utilization. But again, we do, you know, implement the programs, do health education, assess your patients and your populations. Yeah, we do good in terms of including that. Just a really short word in terms of what we saw on the job qualifications and specifications, not to go into any great detail. We did not find that a master's degree was required for most of these positions, only two out of those 18. Had a master's required. And again, a lot of attention in those job descriptions. You know, maybe half of the text was about licensure and driving and organizational policies and, you know, those kinds of things. There were a lot of statements that did not fall under the ANA scope and standards. There was no scope and standards for communication and informatics, and there's no ANA scope and standards for culture and diversity and attention to culture and diversity. I'm sure that if those groups were to redo those would be changed. But because those were really, I think, fairly important, particularly if you think about us as public health professionals, not just as nurses, we need to really include those as important standards and competencies. So the Association of Schools of Public Health have just released their competencies for the Masters of Public Health and included those two categories. And you can see that those are really included across the local health department. So kind of an interesting little aside of what is included. And just for historical records, if you want to go back to the presentation, I included those, the full list of what is included in those competencies for ASPH. Did the disclaimer on this little teeny study, small, convenient sample size, we'd love to do this again with a national sample to see really what's going on more nationally with job descriptions. Really maybe focus a little bit more on using the ANA standards in addition to the Quad Council competencies. I'm not sure what more we might get, but maybe there might be something. Again, this was only one point in time, and given the funding and the reorganization and the crises and how jobs are evolving in local health departments, I think we need to repeat this and see whether or not this is going to be changing with how the financial crisis is influencing how public health is being delivered and thought about in the local. And of course, this is purely descriptive. I can't correlate it with anything. I'd love to, but so some of my conclusions, our conclusions that we wanted to do is that not all of the public health PHN standards from ANA are being used, particularly the population-focused ones. And I, on the red items here that are highlighted, I think we need to really pay really much more attention to getting these included in job descriptions. I don't know how we can have quality improvement if we don't know what outcomes we're trying to achieve. How do we know if we've done well? How are we going to be held accountable? And the fact that that shows up in only one of those job descriptions, I think, is really telling. Regulatory activities, I think that I don't know how much we really need to do that, but if we think about the ways in, from a population perspective, how are public health nurses involved in environmental health sort of standards and assuring regulation there. Research, that's always got to be a piece, I think, of whether that's research like normally thought of as a university kind of research, or that can be very local research. In our local community, in our health department, how are these two things related using the little data set we've got? There's some research, I think, that can be done. People have good questions, and we just need to help them figure out how to answer them. And the resource utilization piece, is that really only a managerial responsibility, or is that really something that all public health nurses need to be thinking about? How are we using resources wisely? So I do think that we found some gaps that are important. I think we need to be really important. We need to really advocate for public health nursing as advanced practice that requires that focus on population. And I think that we ought to begin to look at how are those job descriptions potentially important for establishing and getting the salaries up commensurate with the hospital. And Jill's going to be talking about that. But I think if we don't sort of start by saying, well, look at the important and hard and complex work that's being required in the jobs, why would the county commissioners want to pay you that much money, right? But I only think that the job descriptions is just one of many possible routes to improving public health nursing. We need to really think of ourselves as public health professionals. We need to work with the HR departments to figure out, it's a long-term project, and we probably need to involve our unions on this. How do we get both of those groups to the table to figure out how to get those job descriptions to reflect the complexity of what's really in those standards from ANA? We probably need to sort of really also help people understand how the ANA, I just had a health department director of nursing say, well, we're only doing essential services, and so I've crosswalked ANA with essential services, and so you can go to your directors and board of health and say, we're doing essential services, here's the public health nursing piece, how they fit together. We need to do that kind of education. Policy implications, of course, we really have a lot of work to do in terms of getting that outcomes identification in there as a way to start documenting our value, collaborate with the accreditation board and labor unions to begin to figure out how to better use our job descriptions to advance the practice. And I want to sort of leave you with this website, which is, I'm using now Blogware as a website for the project. So we have at this website all of the products that we're generating out of the CRISP project. So I encourage you to visit the website, and this presentation will be there as well as, of course, on the APHA website, but that will be our dissemination mechanism because we want to help not just our six, but use the six as examples for helping the rest of us. So thank you very much.